On Wednesday, we celebrated a major holiday of the church. Did you know this? Did any of you gather and worship and praise on Wednesday? Any of you cook special food to celebrate on Wednesday? Any idea what was special about it? It was Ascension Day, little known holiday, holy day of the church, 40 days after Easter, after Jesus's resurrection. As we were talking about with the children, the image of the balloon being lifted up into heaven, this rarely, quite frankly, rarely celebrated holiday of the church that is important in our lives together. Occasionally, churches have celebrated on Sundays, but not often that either. Jesus had spoken to his disciples after a number of resurrection appearances, reminding them again of the things he taught them over 3 years together. From the first chapter of Acts, we hear in those face-to-face meetings, Jesus talked to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. They ate, they met together, and he told them, Jesus did, they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but wait for that which the Father had promised. John was baptized with water. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And soon, when they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Is this the time? Jesus told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These were Jesus' last words, and as they watched, he was taken up and disappeared into a cloud, and they stood there, staring at the empty sky, when suddenly two men, clothed in white robes, appeared, and they said, you Galileans, why do you stand there, just staring at the empty sky? This very Jesus, who was taken up from among you, will come back as certainly as he left you. Can't you just imagine it? Them kind of standing there staring at the sky for a while. Wouldn't you be as well? You'd just been talking and Jesus ascends like the balloon that you've let go of. You're wondering, is he coming back? Is this kind of like a party trick? Now, what are we supposed to do about this? So I can imagine they were savoring the moment, enjoying the specter, being fully present, some of those pop psychology things, when the angels shake them into reality and say, what are you just standing around for? Get to work. There's things to do here. And you've been given everything you need for those jobs. On this Ascension Sunday, we remember that just like our creeds remind us, Jesus ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Can you read this? Let me read it to you. He opened their minds. Yeah, it's like he was able to make them receptive to his teachings. Sure, I mean, why not? He can fly, too. I don't know if you've ever seen these cartoons. This is Agnes Day out of the Lutheran tradition, a little bit of liturgical humor, or at least an attempt. But we remember that before Jesus ascended, he was taking care of the disciples, preparing them for what was coming next. And preview here, next Sunday is Pentecost. Next Sunday, we celebrate and delight in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Here at Westgrove, we're celebrating some confirmations. We're talking about the salvation story, the fullness with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Hoping that some of my folks in red will consider wearing red again on Pentecost to celebrate as well. For today, we celebrate the power of God in the lives of the disciples who walked on dusty roads and those disciples gathered here in this place as well. The power of a God who can indeed move mountains and heal diseases. The power of a God who can comfort pain and change our lives. The power of a God who brings justice and mercy each and every morning. The power of a God who offers us God's very strength if we but choose God. Our psalm this morning was Psalm 1, the very first psalm and all of that song book for the land people of Israel, inviting the community into hope and promise that blessings will come from following after God. Psalm 1 talks an awful lot about choice. It sets up that choice of which path you follow. Remember the Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I was sorry I couldn't travel both. But I chose the path less traveled. In Psalm 1, we find ourselves asking that same question. Will we receive the power of God and walk in the way that leads to life? Do those words sound familiar? Walk in the way that leads to life. Those are the words of our baptism ritual. When we lay hands on an infant or a young person or an adult and we pray that the Holy Spirit work within you, having been born of water and the Spirit, that you will become a faithful disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Even at the time of baptism, we pray that folks will choose the path of God's power, of God's grace, and of God's mercy. But if there is a choice, there's always another path as well. The biblical scholar J. Clinton McCann says it this way: the contrasting ways yield sharply different consequences that can be emphasized by the first and the last words in the psalm we just read. Happy is the first word, and perish is the last. Happy begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Perish begins with the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. A rhetorical style to emphasize the comprehensiveness of our choice. Will we choose God's way that leads to life or our own way that leads to death? God's way, the way that promises life in our own lives, also speaks of God's strength as well. We have in Paul's letter to the Colossians a prayer for the people, the young church of the Colossians, for strength and for knowledge. A prayer that doesn't necessarily say there was a lack of knowledge or a lack of strength, but imagines an even fuller possibility of who we can be with God. The author is directly connecting to the reality that the gospel creates an imperative for you and I to be even more than we are with God, undergirding us, strengthening us, and giving us power. Knowledge and strength not as something just available to a few select people, but to all of us who choose God's way. The strength of God when I am weak, but thou art strong. The strength of God when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. The strength of God we pray for when we sing the strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Have you ever noticed our music gives us so much of our theology? Were you able to name those three hymns? The first one was Just a Closer Walk with Thee. The second one, a little bit easier, Stand By Me. And the third one, Great is Thy Faithfulness. God's strength that we sing to remind ourselves that God carries us when we are faltering. This week was our annual conference for the Eastern Pennsylvania United Methodist Conference in Oaks, Pennsylvania. We here at Westgrove sent officially 4 delegates, myself, Pastor Jim, I saw Cindy Haley, and also Luke Chalmers as our youth delegate. You should be quite proud. Luke spent much of Friday on the dais providing prayer for us, actually, as we entered into some time of voting. There was also a delegate in training who was present as well, God bless him, from Wednesday to Saturday. And we were blessed by having Betsy with us on Saturday playing at our memorial service, remembering those who had passed away and pointing towards hope for the future. Over 900 people gathered to praise God and seek God's direction for the church. Resolutions brought forward, debate engaged, conversation that went from day to day. But I have to tell you, one of my very favorite things about annual conference is that we expect that God will be present. 900 people all together who are expecting God to show up in some way or another. We pray for it, we hope for it, and we expect that the Spirit will move among us and point us in the direction that God is hoping our churches will point towards. We know we're a body of various opinions and experiences, thoughts, and plenty of personalities mixed in. We would get nowhere if we didn't expect that the Spirit would undergird those proceedings. Now, I imagine you're going to hear a little more about annual conference in the days to come, and please ask Cindy or Luke or Jim or myself about what our experience was, what kind of moved us at annual conference. But for this day, I want to give thanks to God for 900 people gathering together, expecting God to show up, knowing that the strength of God is needed for the building up of the world, knowing that we're okay on our own, but how much more can we be when we rely on God's strength? On this Ascension Day, we celebrate the strength of God every time the body of Christ gathers. Remember this one, where two or three are gathered, where 900 or 200 are gathered. In the name of Jesus Christ, God is present in the midst. Do we expect that God will show up here when we come on a Sunday morning? Do we expect that the Spirit will move among us and lift us up, strengthening us, making us more than we were when we walked in? We celebrate that God never calls us to walk alone. We can lean on God and on one another. We can call on the name of Jesus for healing and for wholeness, for wisdom and for inspiration. So every time we find ourselves faltering, I invite you to call on the name of Jesus, to know the strength of God which lifts you up as well. We can feel our arms stretched outwards, our roots deep, trees like in Psalm 1, giving glory to God. Not broken by the wind, but swayed by the Holy Spirit. We call on God, knowing that we too can have that strength. One last hymn for you, and I know this one might be familiar. Leaning on the... Just one more time. Leaning on the... We cannot fail. That's what comes next. Leaning on the everlasting arms, we cannot fail. The strength of God is our strength. My friends, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.